Romans chapter 1. We continue our study tonight, and we'll look at verse 26 through the end of the first chapter. The Bible says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Let's pray. Father, I pray that tonight you open our hearts and our minds to your word. Lord, may you work as only you can in our heart. May you challenge us as we face a picture of the world to which we are called. May you guide us, direct us, and may you receive all the glory and honor, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. So starting in verse 24, there are three references to God giving people up. Notice what he says in verse 24. "Wherefore God also did what? Gave them up to what? To uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts." And then he says again in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." And again, he says in verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." So we see in this passage that God lets lost people who have spurned God's grace, who have turned from this self-revelation in nature. Remember, a whole part that we just read, studied last week, talks about how God is what? He's revealed himself in creation, right? That's what last week when Becky was going like this, and I'm like, what's wrong? You know, and you know, is my fly down? You know, or anything like that? No, she's like saying it's all the stuff around us. That creation, the things which are made, show what? They reveal to us what? God's nature, God's divine power, his Godhead. And the Bible says that men love the creature rather than the creator. And they worship the things that they made with their own hands. And they love the creature more than their creator. And so the Bible says because of this path of idolatry that they have gone on, that they've rejected the knowledge that they have of God, they are darkened. Right? The Bible says they are darkened. Their foolish hearts are darkened. They persist in this. And the Bible says God gives them over. God gives them over. It's a sad state. It is a sad state. But we must understand, as C.S. Lewis says, as Christ says, men love what? Darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. C.S. Lewis says that lost men enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded, and they are therefore self-enslaved. The world in which we live, this world of natural unbelieving men, will never come to the light of Christ and the gospel. People are not going to come and fall down and trust in Jesus in droves by themselves. They are content in their darkness. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
And I got to be careful because I can't wake this one up or we're going to have a situation. His deeds are evil. They will not come to the gospel. So what does it take for people to be truly converted? It takes what? John 6:44 says, no man comes to the Father unless the Father what? Draws them. It takes God working in the heart of lost men to spur them to a place where they will accept and come and repent and believe on Christ. Yes? They don't do it of themselves. People aren't walking around the world looking for Jesus. They've rejected what they know about God. They're content in their sins. They want to stay there. And it takes a work of God to get a hold of their hearts for them to come to a place of faith and repentance. God has to work. We have Jesus, the very Son of God, walking on earth, meeting people, interacting with people, and what did they do to him? They crucified him. They wanted to what? They wanted to stone him, right? Here he is preaching the words of life, and they wanted to stone him. They wanted to throw him off the ledge outside the synagogue at Nazareth. They wanted to do these things. That's the heart of man. That is the heart of man. So when we look at this passage in Romans, we see that Paul does not paint a pretty picture of mankind. The natural man, who we all were, right? Who we all were before we came to faith in Christ. A lot of people believe that man is naturally good, that it's his situations that are bad. That if man just had unlimited money and had a big house, had a good education, they would all be okay. What's one thing that I can point to just off the bat? Look at Hollywood. Look at how much money Hollywood actors and actresses have. Look at how much big houses they have. They've got education. And look at their lives. How many times has Hillary Duff been to detox? How many times has these actors and actresses been to rehab and all these other things? Why? Because the heart of man is wicked. It's wicked. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? And that's exactly what Paul is showing us, is in the world in which we live, we've got to understand that the lost world is lost. It is a dark place. And because it is dark, we are commanded to shine as lights in that dark world. We are commanded to be light in a dark place. But these in this world, Paul says, they've spurned God's revelation of himself in creation. They've worshipped the creature more than creator. Notice what he says. He says, for this reason, what happens? For this reason, God does what? Gave them up unto vile affections. God lets them be what they want to be. God lets them be what they want to be. There are three judgments in this passage that I see. The first one is that God gives them up to vileness. Look what he says. God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So the Bible says that for this cause, or because of this reason, because of their idolatry, as a result of their desire to worship the creature more than the creator, their spurning of God's revelation, the desire to walk in their darkness, to dwell in this world of unbelief, they are given up, they are delivered unto their own vile affections. You have to understand, as he says in verse 24, that they are given up to their own lusts. The lusts of their what? Their own heart. This isn't something God conjured up as a punishment. He is simply letting them be what they already want to be. What is the greatest problem in your life? You look at him or her every day in the mirror.
Yourself.
We like to blame the devil, don't we? That old adage, the devil made me do it. But my worst enemy is me. Your worst enemy is you. So when Paul says he gave them up to their own vile affections, the lusts of their own depraved, darkened heart. And notice what he says. He says these are vile affections. These are disgraceful affections. These are lustful attractions that are wicked. And he goes on to describe something that we have termed an H word. That's not popular to say, right? In a negative context. What is that word? No, not hell. I was like, no. Homosexuality. Thank you,
Lucia.
She's homosexual.
Yeah.
The H word. I was like, H word. Teresa's afraid to say the H word.
They don't like that word either.
They don't like that. That's exactly right. They don't like that. That's in Canada. For me to preach this message, I would be locked up. To read Romans 1 in Canada is a hate crime. I'm not making that up. We lived in Buffalo. I heard this firsthand. Preacher got in his pulpit, and there were RCMP police officers in his congregation. Just because they had heard, he was going to stand up and preach on Romans 1. He stood up and he just read the chapter. He didn't even get to his sermon. He just read the verses, and they came up and arrested him. That's right. But this verse says that the vile affections God has given them up is what? It is practiced homosexuality. Women leaving that which is natural to do what is against nature. And because we have children in this audience, I'm going to leave a lot unsaid. But you who are older know what I am talking about. Yes? Shake your head if you're with me? All right. So women using what is against nature with other women, and then he says men who do the same thing. Now when Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it to whom? He wrote it to the Romans. What was one of the most common accepted practices in ancient Rome was? Homosexuality. We are not the first culture to experience this. This was going on in Paul's day. And he says there's a reason why homosexuality is rampant. It's because God has given them over to it. And if you look in our culture, in our society today, why is it such an issue? Because God is giving people what they want. They don't want him. They don't want Christ. And in our country, it's this way because we have had the Bible for so long. You can go to any Walmart in the country and buy a Bible. The Bible's on the radio. The Bible's preached on TV. The Bible's on the internet. Anybody with 2 cents and half a brain can find scripture anywhere in this country right now. We have been saturated with the Bible for 240 years we've existed as a nation. Saturated with it. And our culture has decided we don't want it. We want to do our own thing. So that's why homosexuality, while it's always been an issue for lost mankind, is now such a big deal. God is giving people what they want to be. God says, go for it. You want to do this? You want to practice this vile, lustful nature? I'm giving you up to it. I'm delivering over to the lusts of your own heart. But notice what he says. He says this, that's interesting. He says, men with men working that which is unseemly, verse 27, and receiving in themselves the recompense or the wages of the error which was meet. Basically, what he says is they're receiving their just due. And I read a commentary, and he said this. He said that word error is actually not strong enough. The context really means that word to mean their perversion. It's not like they just got something wrong on a test. Oh, you're in error. No, no. Or they didn't catch the baseball when it was hit to third base and they overthrew second and they got an error. No, it means their perversion. What they are doing is just reward for what they want. And that is they want to reject God, reject the truth, and walk in their own darkened hearts. So they are getting what they already justly deserve. Now let me ask you a question. Does that sound like the God that we hear on TV all the time? Does that sound like a God of love and mercy? Everybody's looking at movies, man.
No.
No, it doesn't, does it? The TV preachers tell us God is for you. God loves you. God wants you to be happy. It doesn't matter who you love. Have you heard that? It doesn't matter who you love. We must understand that, yes, God is loving. But in being loving, he is also holy. And he is also just. And he cannot let sin in any form go unpunished. And he says they are getting their just reward, their just due for the just wages of their perversion that they're practicing. They are getting what they deserve as sinful mankind who have rejected Christ. They are walking in the darkness of their own heart. They are getting what they deserve, and that is the just actions of a holy, righteous, and loving God. God showed his love for us where? On the cross. He died for us that we may have a new life, that we may have the old heart ripped out and a new heart placed in us, so that we could walk according to his Spirit and not according to the lust of our flesh, right? That's where his love is displayed. But when you reject that love and you want to walk in the darkness of your heart, you're walking slap face into the justice of God. And you will get what you deserve. When a criminal stands before a judge, do we expect the judge to let him off? Look at the riots going on in St. Louis. Why are they rioting? Because they believe the judge was unjust. Regardless of what your personal feelings are, that's why they're upset. And rightfully so. If you believe a judge is what? Unjust, you're going to be upset. When they let O.J. Simpson off, even though I'm a Bills fan, we are all upset because he's as guilty can be. Even the Buffalo papers said that. Why would we think or expect anything less from the most righteous judge of all? Is he going to let sin go unpunished? What kind of judge would he be? He says, I've given you over to vile affections. You are getting your just due. You're getting the just reward, the just wages of your perversion. But that's not the only judgment he has in this passage. Look what he says. He's not only giving them over to vileness, he also gives them over into moral bankruptcy. Moral chaos, really. In verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? Reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. That's a gentle wording. How many of you heard the term, well, those old reprobates? You guys, that's a southern expression. You use that up north and they have no idea what you're talking about. What is a reprobate mind? It's all right, I don't know. Yes, they have no judgment, no ability to judge well. Void of judgment is the actual Greek word. And in this context, it's tending towards vulgarity. Their mind, they are irreverent, they have no conscious faculty to judge right and wrong anymore. They're completely given over to their own vulgarity. And notice what he says. Look at the laundry list of the practices of these people who are given over to this mind that they just don't care right or wrong anymore. They have no ability to discern right from wrong. Notice what he says. He says they do the things which are not convenient, literally things that are not what's the word I'm looking for, Becky? Not fitting, yes, not befitting, becoming, that's the word, not becoming. Not becoming a decent human being. They are given over to vulgar actions. Their mind is void of judgment. Being filled with what? All good things and candy and cornflakes. Being filled with all what?
Unrighteousness.
That means things that are not like the character of a righteous God, right? So they are living out the verse, no one is righteous, no, not one. They are literally, that's become their life verse. They are living out their unrighteousness. They are filled with all unrighteousness. That's a blanket statement. Because the scripture's saying, we're going to list the whole things here, but if we don't cover anything, it's covered in this. Fornication. Wickedness. Covetousness. Maliciousness. What is fornication? Things pertaining to a sexual nature, right? Either sex before marriage or sex outside of marriage, but it's sexual perversion. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Like, hey, you know what? We don't have enough wickedness to do. Let's come up with something new. Inventors of evil things. Full of disobedient parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. A lot of people look at that and they say, well, that's when referring back to homosexuality. That's not what it is. Without natural affection, you don't have what you naturally should have as affection. How many of you have seen, read stories of parents driving their van full of children into a lake? How many of you have ever read stories about the guy who lost custody of his children and they were coming to visit him and he kills both his kids and then burns the house down around him? The natural affection for a parent is to what? Love his children. You're going to not like them sometimes, but you're going to love your children. You're going to do anything you can for them. So when these people, these parents, drive their cars into these lakes and murder their children, it shows that they have no natural affection. And I would even extend this to the unborn, because they're children just the same. I don't think it's natural for a mother who receives news that she's going to be a mother, it's natural to be excited that you're bringing life into this world, but instead we kill them by the millions. Without natural affection, implacable. Combative. That word is the Greek. It's from someone who would fight and would not quit. They're just combative. Unmerciful. Unmerciful. The world, as they say, is a dog-eat-dog world, right? You're not going to get a lot of mercy, are you? You miss your payment, and what's going to happen? Repo Man. Which is a great TV show when it happens to somebody else.
What happened to you? Not so fun.
You're not going to get a lot of mercy. Most people aren't going to be merciful to you. You drive on the highway, Brother Steve drops his truck, I guarantee you he sees all sorts of unmerciful acts on the highway. How many people want to let a car in front of them? No, I've seen him like speed up just to, you know, block somebody off, and they slow back down, like it speeds back up. I mean, I've seen crazy things. Yeah. Lakeisha's like, I do it. I
know. No, I've seen it. Yeah.
Living jerk, so.
C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Abolition of Man, if you've never read The Abolition of Man, you need to get a copy of it. They're only like a couple bucks on Amazon, and it's only like a 60-page book. It is a tremendous, tremendous book. And he writes about something called the Tao. T-A-O. And what he calls the Tao is, he says this. The Tao is the doctrine of objective value. The belief that certain attitudes are really true and others are really false. And that is a belief that has been held by every culture that's ever existed. You go to any culture and you will see rules against stealing. You'll see rules against lying. You'll see rules against murder. You go from any ancient culture. You go to Sumeria. You go to Mesopotamia. You go to Mesoamerica. You go to any of those cultures. And you study any anthropology, and they'll tell you that that society had these same basic core beliefs. That right is right, and wrong is wrong. The problem with this world, the problem with those who are here, who are given over to a reprobate mind, is they no longer think things are right and wrong. They no longer have the faculty to process that. Their mind is devoid of judgment. They are given up totally over to their own lusts, their own passions. And you see what they work. The laundry list that they are. The wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder. Why is it we have a problem in our inner cities? Chicago is up to almost 500 murders this year alone. 500 murders. Why? Because it's a city full of lost people. Doesn't matter their color. It's not because they're gangbangers or non-gangbangers, or they're black or white, it makes no difference. They're lost people. White people kill white people just like anybody else can. He says, I've given them over to a reprobate mind, a mind devoid of judgment. But notice what he says next. Verse 32. Not only given up God's judgment, given over to violence, not only given over to moral chaos, but the third and final judgment is death. Notice what he says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are what? Yes. Worthy of death. Not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do that. You know, it breaks my heart when I see people stand up and defend abortion. I have seen people applaud women as they walk into the abortion clinic. We see people that cheer on all sorts of behavior that's listed in this chapter, do we not? The Bible says that they know that the penalty is what? Death. The wages of sin is what? Is death. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 6, it says this in verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? These people were begging the mountains to hide because they know they are guilty and they cannot face the wrath they know is coming. But they're not willing to repent. They'd rather a mountain fall on them than bow the knee to Christ. That's what Romans tells us. They know they are worthy of death. They know. They just don't care. We think people are lost because they're ignorant of the gospel. No, they're lost because they're born lost. And they want to stay that way. It takes a work of God. It takes a work of the gospel. It takes a work of the Spirit to prick someone's heart till they wake up and realize who Christ is and that they must repent or else perish. And these people in Revelation, they would rather the mountains fall on them than bow the knee to Christ. And that's exactly what the people in Romans, they know they are worthy of death. They know that God's last judgment on the world of unbelief is death. The wages of sin is death. You cannot escape that. You cannot escape that those who are not bound in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast where? Where? The lake of fire. Not hell. I said it that time.
Yeah.
They're not cast into a bouncy bin in a McDonald's. Bouncy house, thank you. They're not cast in, they're cast in hell. They that are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, those that do not believe in Christ are cast in hell. And no matter how they plead on that day, it is too late. The world in which we live is a dark place full of dark people. I was amazed just the visits we've made this week, how much drugs is in this area. How many homes, how many people I've met and talked to that either they've been caught up within it, their fathers are caught up with it. Their parents are caught up with it. Their grandparents are caught up in it. Their siblings are caught up in it. It's a dark world. And this isn't downtown Chicago. This isn't like what you would see on Andy Griffith, where he had to deal with chicken thieves and moonshine. We live in a dark world full of lost people. What then are we to do? We're to shine as lights. The Bible tells us in Galatians that where the world is unmerciful, we're to be merciful. Where the world is unloving and uncaring, we're to show love and loving kindness. Where the world hates, we're to show grace. Where the world chews up and spits people out, we're to help put them back together. We are to shine as lights on a hill. No man, Christ says, lights their light and hides it under a bushel. But he puts it on a candlestick. Why? So that it might light the room. We live in a dark world. Sampson County, Duplin County is dark. Full of lost people. Full of people like this. And the only hope they have is the gospel. You and I can't convince them. You and I can't change them. You and I have no power to convert them. It must be a work of God. It must be the scriptures and the Holy Spirit getting a hold of their hearts. That's the only thing that can. Amen. So we're to go forth bearing that light. Being that light. Galatians tells us that we have what? The fruit of the Spirit. That's not something that we work up. That's not something that we put on. That's something that comes from within us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Those same affections and lusts that God has given up the world to, he has crucified in us. He says, those, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us live out the life that Christ has placed inside of us. We go and meet people who are hurting. And some of them don't want help. But we are to be a light in our communities. A light in a dark place. Let us show grace to those who show us none. Let us be kind to those who are unkind to us. That's what Jesus meant when he says, when someone slaps you, turn them the other cheek. See, that's foolish, Pastor Jacobs. You get taken advantage of. Christ wasn't taken advantage of, too. Let us live the gospel. Let us let the light shine from us. The fruit of the Spirit be so prevalent in our life that we shine in a dark place. Let us seek to bring the gospel to those who are hurting, those who are darkened, those who are in despair, whose lives are a wreck. We have the one thing that can help them. The one thing that can bring them hope. That's not something we can do on our own strength, our own power. It only comes from him. Amen? Amen. We have a dark world around us. That's more the opportunity for us to shine brighter. It's not easy. When I get cut off on the highway, guess what I have a tendency to do? That's okay, man. You take it. Go right ahead. Nope. You honk the horn.
Dude, what are you doing?
You know, you get out that New York accent. I'm walking here. We all do that, right?
I'll say, wow.
And it got so funny because we had this truck cut us off, and it was a, you know, hunting truck. It had the cages for the things. I was like, redneck, what are you doing, man? You know? And he goes, what's a redneck? Crazy redneck coming up. Man, what's a redneck? I'll let Brother Steve tell you. Let us live the gospel. Let's be who we're supposed to be in Christ. We can't work it up. We can't put it on mechanically. It comes naturally from his Spirit. It's not easy. It's not easy to be nice when someone's rude. It's not easy to be kind when someone's unkind to you, but it's exactly what we are called to be. Lights in a dark room. Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures that tell us honestly how the world is. Father, we know we have a dark place. We are called to people who are hurting. And God, let us bear your light, not for their sakes alone, but for your name's sake. May we live the gospel. May we preach the gospel. May we share Christ. So your grace may be glorified, your name exalted. Lord, may you do a work in our hearts as we live today, tomorrow, this week. May you help us to be who you are making us to be. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you all so much for being here. Lakeisha, it was so good to have you with us today. I'm sure we can find you a job down here.
Probably.
Oh, no. We are so thankful for your ministry there. Good news. Keep praying for Roy and Drew as they are overseas. I think of Drew this morning as I was reading all the crazy stuff going on. Yeah. No, he's in Louisiana. He's in War Games. He's playing the bad guys. So it's Cowboys and Indians, just with a lot cooler guns. So, yeah, pray for them. Pray for our country. Pray for one another as we go out this week. Amen?
Amen.
We are dismissed.